Yeah, that's the surprise upside of this whatever sinus thing that's been attacking my throat for the past couple of weeks. I can now do John Dunn a lot more easy.
It's great. It's like if Michael Douglas was pissed off at John.
I have serious opinions on John Dunn. Now that's just Marge. No, I can't do that.
Either you sound like Michael Gordon, if you stopped eating pussy, maybe your voice would be a little less.
I stopped and I eat green eggs and ham now. Which is another way of saying I eat pussy. The eggs are green when I'm done with them. That's the worst thing I've ever said. Marvin the Martian cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, stupid, are you ready?
Okay, Smokey, roll them. That's silly. Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
I gotcha!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to That's Not Quite All, folks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to That's Not Quite All, folks, a Looney Tunes podcast. I'm your host, Mike Campbell, and joined by my
co-host. Oh, we're rolling, co-host. Okay. And I thought we were going to have to do the whole thing again. All right. And I'm Jordan, and we're clearly in a very sane mood today.
Yes, clearly.
Because before what happened was before we started rolling, I was clearing my throat a lot, and I basically joked out, "I'm gonna do the whole thing like this." And so during the intro, I just started like going, and then Mark just went with it. One of the only times that like the music stopped, the point where Mark usually starts the episode started, and there was just 3 seconds of silence, and then just. So we're already like fucked and completely sober as well, I might add. Anyway, and I'm Jordan. I don't know if I made that clear. I'm pretty sure people think I made that ever clear. And
it's
we
episode
are going
77
to be...
if you don't know by now. Yeah. If you don't know by now, what the fuck that
is. Episode 77, and we're starting the episode like people would be in 1977, face down in a mound of coke at Studio 54, dreaming of little green men in spaceships on Mars, which appropriately enough, this episode involves Marvin the Martian, a character that we really haven't covered that much of. You see, because we did all the character ones in the beginning, and then we did some more character ones, and then just now, all right, fine, more character ones. And the one that we're just getting to now that we should have gotten to a while ago is Marvin the Martian. He's only been in like 4 or 5 Golden Age cartoons, but one of them we did cover in Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. And so we figured, let's just do some more, because the Bugs and Marvin combo is very underrated. And, you know, people tend to like Marvin the Martian. You know, as we're going to discuss, a lot of Hollywood executives also liked Marvin the Martian. But, yeah, we wanted to bring him up here.
Yeah, and what I found fascinating about Marvin the Martian is how little of Golden Age shorts he's in. He's only in, like him and Taz should share a beer sometime going over how they were completely underrepresented in their Golden Age and really got their fame after the fact.
And yeah, they were all vindicated by like stuff in honestly the 90s. I mean, because both of them had good parts in Space Jam. And, you know, Marvin eventually, you know, like Taz, you know, Marvin the Martian was a character you'd see on dashboards and windshields and tire covers, and would be a good marketable Looney Tunes character despite not having done a great deal like Bugs and Daffy and Tweety. So he was just a cool-looking design that had a fun couple of cartoons that stood something of the test of time. I mean, obviously Chuck Jones and people liked coming back to him. And he has a sort of legacy. I mean, from the 90s on, he's sort of been elevated to, you know, the top of of the sort of lexicon of Looney Tunes characters, and he's very fondly remembered today. To the point where Eric Bauza, I think, one of his main auditions into the Looney Tunes stratosphere, was doing his Marvin voice.
Oh, yes, and we will get to how he got in at the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah, no, believe me, we will.
All right. But yeah. So the shorts we're covering are Hair Devil Hair.
Yes.
Hairway to the Stars. And Mad as a Mars Hare. If you couldn't tell already, these are all Bugs and Marvin cartoons.
Clearly. Yes, they are. Because the Bugs and Marvin dynamic is really good, and there were more cartoons with Bugs and Marvin rather than Bugs and Daffy. Or Marvin and Daffy. And so we've got to mine some of them.
Yeah.
But these are all very interesting, because like with a lot of the character ones we've been doing, we picked one from the beginning of this character's run, one from sort of the middle of this character's run, or at least the most iconic parts, and one near the end. And the ending one is sort of scraping the bottom of the Golden Age, and that'll be fun to go over. But first,
Hair Devil Hair was released on July 24th, 1948. This show was directed by Chuck Jones, written by Michael Maltese. So, as made clear, this is the first short that Marvin the Martian appeared in.
Yes.
You can tell because he's not 100% there.
No.
There's some early stuff here in the Marvin the Martian character that we'll get into. And in retrospect, in regards to this short, Chuck Jones considered this one of the shorts that really turned a corner in regards to strange, new, and interesting directions. Which is something, considering that Tex Avery was also a part of the crew, and is like, just like, no. With this one, we went to space. It is way more out there than anything we did previously.
I mean, because the thing is that you would compare something like this to, Porky and Wacky Land, where you were going into mostly just this landscape of bizarre animation ideas and new scope and taking you out of the sort of the sensible world. And the difference being is that the difference, of course, between full-on fantasy and science fiction is that, like, you know, there's absolutely no logic in something like Porky and Wacky Land, whereas science fiction itself is just, you know, the progression of too much logic. It's the dirtiness of the progression of history. And doing sci-fi worlds and worlds in space and things, it was more definitely thinking, okay, this is what it could look like, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, it's beyond the mind's eye of imagination of what could happen, rather than Porky and Wacky Land, which is just without even a scope in reality. If that makes any sense. I was mostly just babbling. I'm still coming off the alcohol.
Yes. So this is a short that, again, it's the first one of the Looney Tunes shorts that ever take place in space.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it's the first, because when they go to space, it's just space. There's nothing crazy. Chuck hasn't met Maurice yet at this point. Mm-hmm. Haven't thought of what if space was crazy and appealing to the eye. Instead,
what if space was also the sky?
Unlike some people. So, let us begin. So our story begins with a newspaper, the Daily News, called the Daily Snooze, saying that, you know, scientists, they're going to launch a rocket to the moon, and a heroic rabbit has volunteered to be the first passenger. Also, there's some fun stuff with the newspaper. This is the fun part of the job. We get to look into the newspaper and see what they rip from. And there's some nice jokes here. You know, there's big Eastern interests, and 60,000 Greeks in big push aren't gorillas. Because sure.
Sure.
But then, as you see the screen that a heroic rabbit volunteers as the first passenger, we then crossfade to Bugs being dragged against his will into the rocket ship.
I love that. I love this entire opening. Of just, and he's volunteered. He's literally being dragged into the ship. I love it. And
there's just some fun lines here. Like, he screams, "Help, I don't want to be a hero." And of course, as he's yelling about this, they then bring in the supplies, which is a bunch of carrots, just a ship full of carrots. So he immediately turns, goes, well, see ya, as it runs off to the rocket ship. And
it's just, it's to the point where they'd really gotten the knack of writing bugs, and they knew who the character was, and they could just have fun with things like that. And that's just a wonderful opening game.
Yes. So the rocket is then launched into space, and because it's 1948 and they don't know how rockets launch yet, they just have a piece of TNT on the ship. A guy comes out, lights the TNT, hucks away as the ship flies off.
Yeah, the actual space takeoff they have is really well animated. Just lots of zooming through space, and just it's really cool.
Yeah, so there's an example. So Bugs is just... they didn't put him a seatbelt on. He immediately gets shot to the back of the rocket, as clearly indicated by his figure being put in the metal. As we cut inside to see Bugs flat, and there's lovely animation of flattened Bugs rising up from the bottom of the ship.
I loved that.
Like, there's some really good animated moments in this that's, like, legitimately well animated. So... Yeah, so Bugs is just sent to the moon. We see there's a window of Bugs looking in, and he is just not having it. He's wheezy.
That's a classic shot. It's been used in lots of different things.
Very classic of just Bugs on the verge of throwing up because it's space and it's going so damn fast. So eventually, the ship lands on the moon, and by lands, it crash lands. It completely... gets destroyed as the door opens, and we just see Bugs standing there completely perplexed at the situation, and he's just freaking out in just quick drawings of Bugs off model freaking out. It's nice. It's an early Looney Tunes sort of gag. That's something they were going to really do later. Especially Bugs freaking out. That's a very, like, late 40s sort of motif, because it was used in this as well as in Hair Raising Hair, where he meets Gossamer.
Yeah, but here it's just complete gibberish. Not even words, just noises, and it's very amusing.
So eventually, I love just... the guy saying, like, you know, Bugs on Earth. Like, Bugs, are there over? And Bugs just picks up the it's a walkie-talkie, by the way. It's literally so... just flicks it, goes, eat out.
Over.
I love that gag so much. I love that gag so much. It's just...
and it's just, I love just Bugs going, like...
I'm alone on the moon. Well, anyway, I'm the first living creature to set foot on the moon.
It's immediately just, it's cool.
It's like some just a moment.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, only took about 8 years, and they sent him to space, or just about, from the character's creation. And now he's on the moon. It's like, oh man, I'm the only person here who's ever made onto the moon. As he walked by a sign that says Kilroy was here. Sticks!
Yes.
Sticks! What are you doing here? Tommy,
I guess that's it for me. Until next week, I'm Jordan. I literally wrote in my notes, folks. If Mark makes Sticks joke, leave call. So there's really no reason for me to be here.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. I genuinely wrote that in my notes as I was going through. I'm like, okay, Mark is going to make a Sticks joke. Forgetting, of course, that Kilroy was here is a war era sort of running gag sort of hero of just, like, you know, the last man standing in the war, the sort of pulp hero of Kilroy. And Sticks made a really bad concept album out of it.
I guess I'll just call him my backup co-host.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Smoking Granny. Hi. How's your prone necklace, by the way? Is it nice?
Oh, yes, it's very lovely.
No. No. So what happens next? We're really going through it, folks.
Yes, yes, we are. So, let's see. Da, 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 da. Finds Kilroy. Blah, 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 blah. Another rocket soon lands nearby. It's the Mars to Moon Expeditionary Force from the planet Mars.
Mars.
And from it emerges an unnamed Martian. He wasn't called Marvin back then. He's just a creature Martian. Who begins work on something that involves a missile and it'll clearly going to destroy Earth.
Yeah.
And it's here we get our first Bugs talking to Marvin moment. And it's also here where we... Okay. First off, we should probably go over the design of the character.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much there.
Yeah.
The eyes are too big because, you know...
Yes.
Because, you know, that's kind of like a casualty of, like, 40s design. You know, first rule, make the eyes big.
Yeah, you gotta have them look right at the audience. I mean, the emphasis is also on the shoes and the big sneakers, which isn't as big as some of the other ones. And the voice, it's completely different.
I'm going to blow up the Earth.
Well, okay, what would you describe Marvin's normal voice? It's a voice that's in Mel's, like, back pocket. The kind of...
It's closer to, like... Okay, I know,
like
I have
Claude.
To think before I know that from.
It's like
yeah.
Claude and, like, from
something
Anonymous.
Like Claude the Cat. Or, like...
Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's a voice that's been used before. But for some reason, when Marvin does it, I just associate it as Marvin the Martian. Like, I don't think, oh, it's just
I figured it out.
Okay.
It's the little man from the draft board.
Yeah.
Well, now I wouldn't say that.
He's using, because this was only like three or four years since Drafty Daffy, and so, like, oh yeah, I used that on that one. Let's try for this character. And this is not the first time that that in this cartoon that you see either a former or previous or future character voice being employed here. But like it's definitely like it's coming from an entirely different part of the voice. It's not the round squeak of usual, but you know it's a thinner. He's going into a place that he wouldn't usually go for Marvin.
Yeah, and there's some like there's some nice bits of animation here. Like there's a bit where. Yeah. Marvin is keeping his helmet on while he's lighting the TNT.
Yeah.
Which is, like, nice. Again, there's little moments in here that's just, like,
yeah.
I didn't need to do that, but it's nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's also the little moments of Marvin walking right by Bugs. Of just, you know, he walks right by. Trying to do a what's up, Doc, but then he just goes away. It's great.
Yeah, so Marvin says, no, he's gonna blow up the Earth. And Bugs is, of course... Yeah. Not concerned until he realizes the severity of the situation and like, hold on, what are you doing? You can't just blow up Earth. A lot of people live there that need.
Yeah. It takes him a second. I mean, like a lot of these, it takes him like a minute or so to really think about the implications of it all. And then he comes back to it. And of course, you know, has to thwart Marvin for the rest of this.
Yes, but what I love is... How even from the beginning, Marvin always called dynamite...
The Uranium PL-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
Yes. That was intact from the beginning.
Yeah.
a couple of things in this are intact from the beginning. Like
oh, yeah.
The very angry sort of refrain. Like, you know, the character is sort of there, it's just not completely there.
Exactly. So as Bugs takes the TNT... He then has to deal with Marvin the Martian's dog, K-9, who would appear, again, in other Marvin the Martian cartoons, as well as being in the Duck Dodger series. And in this one, he talks. I don't believe he talks in the other ones. It's been a while since
I don't think so either.
So this, again, just really thing. The dog talks, and the dog's speaking voice is...
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't.
It's Muggsy.
Oh, it's Muggsy. Huh.
Well, actually, it's a mixture between Beaky Butters and Muggsy, to be honest. Because honestly, they're very much the same sort of tone of voice. I don't think this was quite as much of an a yup character, but it's very much the sort of strong-nosed dummy that would later be just Muggsy. But you could say either and you'd get away with it, because it's definitely a voice that Mel has done before. They were going into this thing, okay, it's just a regular old, you know, Bugs as a villain thing. They weren't saying, okay, this isn't going to be the character we use for years and years and years.
Exactly.
They don't start thinking like that until, like, Hasty Hair and Duck Dodgers. So, right. Yeah.
Also, so right before Bugs meets K-9, there's this great facial animation on Bugs as he's calling out for help on Earth. And his signal gets jammed to, like, a mattress ad.
I think it was a cereal jingle.
Or something. I don't know. It's just...
It's great. I love that.
It's very well done.
Crumpy crunchies are the best. Look delicious on your vest. Serve them to unwanted guests. Stuff the mattress with the rest.
And, so then he meets K-9, who has the dynamite, and to which Bugs, in order to get it, they do the old-fashioned, you won't do it. Yes, I will. You know,
but it's well done here. I mean, obviously, it's before, you know, Rabbit Season, Duck Season, and it's after Baseball Bugs, but it works here because of just the strength of the music behind it, and also just the heightening of both Bugs and the dog. It works out, I think.
Yeah. So, eventually, Bugs ditches K-9, Oliver can, and then chase after Bugs, to which they just get entangled into, like, a passionate stance or something, to which...
Gee, kid, I didn't know you cared.
I didn't know you cared, and he says, you know, Mac, there's a beautiful Earth out tonight. okay.
I love it.
This has nothing to do with the short. But that's a line that Chuck still remembered for, like, years, because in, like, the 80s, he went on this, like, discussion show with Mike Peters, and the whole point of it was just, it was, like, both of them sitting at drawing desk, and they would, like, draw the characters while doing an interview. And there's a point where they're talking about Porky Pig. To which Chuck says, well, you know, like, I didn't much care for Porky Pig until I did Duck Dodgers. Because with Duck Dodgers, I was able to give Porky a role. He's the innocent. He's the one that, what have you. And he's drawing Porky Pig. He draws an Earth in the sky, and he says...
This is what he'd be saying if he was on Mars, you see.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He'd say, there's a beautiful Earth out tonight. Right?
That's terrific.
Yeah, so that's old Porky.
It's a good joke.
It is a good joke. It's close to 40 years later, he still remembers that joke.
It's awesome.
Okay, back to the show. So, eventually, Martin the Martian is just yelling at K-9, like, you let him get away, you fool. Why'd you do that? Twitch, Bugs then arrives dressed as a Martian. Where'd he get that stuff?
He always has it on standby, like his drag and his telegram for Mongo suit or whatnot. You know, he always has those in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the dog from the from Sylvester and Tweety, he just keeps everything up his ass.
Or maybe Bugs just went to Marvin's ship and got it out. But anyways, So he comes toward Marvin with the lit TNT. He says, here you go. Marvin's like, oh. It's just, it's like, oh, good. It's the rain. Oh, goody. Let's go destroy Earth as they go back to his ship. Yeah, and Bugs just detonates it.
Yeah.
The full moon turned into a crescent moon.
I like that. That's great.
And they go back to Earth to the crew. According to this Wikipedia article, the silhouette talking to Bugs looks like Frizz Freeling. I don't know, it just looked like a guy to me, but whatever. So he contacts Bugs. And just says, like, listen, like, Bugs, are you okay? And Bugs is like, yeah, of course I am. Yeah, 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 I'm good, Doc. And then Gunner's like, is there a statement you'd like to make? And Bugs says, yeah, yeah, I have prepared statements.
Get me out of here!
Okay, that's a classic cartoon ending. That's just great. Yeah. Just Bugs hanging on to the moon as Marvin and K-9 hang off from under him. Wait a minute.
It's a precursor to, yes,
to the Duck Dodgers ending.
It's a precursor to Duck Dodgers.
Yeah, it's literally.
It works, so he polished it off and redid it for that one. It was a slightly different context, but you know, it works here too.
Yeah, and that's where we end things.
Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Bugs stuck on the moon. Yeah, pretty good Bugs cartoon.
Uh huh.
Yeah, this cartoon more than anything, as it's the first for this character. It really sets the foundation for them for the Marvin the Martian. Like, the design is almost right. The voice is kind of there. But they definitely got the gimmick down. Which you could argue kind of, like, goes against the character. Because a lot of Marvin the Martian is this plot. Like, there's this. And that
does. It does it well.
It's a good plot, but, you know. I greatly enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I will agree with you that the Marvin formula is still a little bit primitive. The voice isn't there yet. It's not exactly the Marvin we will know and love by the time Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century comes along. But the gag work here is excellent all the way through. The ideas, the animation, the designs are all really cool. This is also a great bug showcase, especially in this era of the character. A lot works. Barely anything doesn't work. So I think this is definitely it's an early precursor to how much Chuck is going to dominate the 1950s.
I'm going to give this short 4 out of 5 anvils.
Only 4?
Only 4.
Mark! I'm giving it a 4.5. Because I really like this one. But all right. I see how it is.
Look, you put in the option to leave like a couple of minutes ago, so...
Well, yeah, but that wasn't the cartoon's fault. That was all you, bud.
All right.
Hairway to the Stars is our next cartoon. This comes a little bit further down the line in Marvin's chronology after Hasty Hair and Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century, as they wanted to go back to do things with Bugs and Marvin as opposed to Daffy and Marvin. This one comes out on March 29th, 1958. Mark.
Yeah?
If I say the name Victor Salva, why am I wincing?
Why?
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't. Why wincing? Why?
Okay.
What is it?
All right, Victor Salva is an American film director.
Okay.
Came to prominence in the late 80s, early 90s. Directed the film Powder. Directed the all 3 Jeepers Creepers movies. And was outed as a noted pedophile. Registering everything. So one of the creepiest, most unsavory film directors of his time. Was born on this day, March 29th, 1959. On a slightly lighter movie note, number one song in the U.S. was Tequila by the Champs. I mean, it's a good thing the person with the movie that's mostly featured in, he did a creepy thing, but, like, it's a natural creepy thing. You know, we forgave Pee. I forgave Pee-wee.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but, like, you know. Do what you want to do, bud. Keep making good art.
Yes.
Anyway, this is a Chuck Jones film. Michael Maltese wrote it. This portions of this were featured in the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie, right?
Yes. It was, in fact, it was the first one shown. in the Bunny Runner movie. So let's see. Let's see. That was episode 10. And it took us, 67 episodes to get to this one? Oh, man. Dude.
Oh, well.
That one listener that's like, okay, one of these days we're going to go really in depth on Harry to the Star. It's going to be so worth it. Cut to like a year later. Finally!
Well, we're probably going to knock, we're not going to get until Water, Water, Every Hair until roughly 2052. So
yeah, true. Yeah.
At this fucking rate. Okay, so getting into it, unless there's any other background, what am I saying? I'm the one who covered this one.
Yeah.
This opens with a very interesting mix of animations because there's the more concrete animation of the rocket ship being hoisted over Bugs mm-hmm. Bunny's hole. No, and there is the animation of Bugs Bunny's rabbit hole. There's a difference between the two in terms of like, because it feels like it's two different sort of sheets of animation being sort of overlaid on each other of different hands, and that actually has a pretty cool effect, honestly. I
have something to complain about. It's supposed to be
already.
So I don't like the opening credits. It's just a black screen. Nothing goes on. It's just black screen, the text, and then we go into the cartoon. That's all. Compared to mine, it sucked. All right, keep going.
Well, good thing I don't have to worry about outranking you again. Oh, wait. I do. I always do. You sourpuss. I love that because we zoom in on Bugs' hole. No.
No.
No. We zoom in.
On Bugs' home. On his home.
Home. Yes, his home. His home is where the hole is. And I love that Bugs is hungover. He says the line, I'll never mix radish juice and carrot juice again. Don't mix your alcohols, folks.
You know, for kids. Oh, right.
Who said these were for kids?
Exactly.
They said a million times, we made these for ourselves. We weren't thinking about showing them to kids because the kids wouldn't get most of the humor we were doing. That's my Frizz Freeling impression, guys. Bugs Bunny sitting down.
Dude, it sounds like Frizz Freeling drunk, though. Like, he's at the 50th anniversary party. He's like,
For the last time, I don't know who created him. It was Bob Clampett or somebody's uncle or something. I don't know.
So the setup
is
that Bugs, a very tired Bugs, accidentally boards a rocket bound for Mars, which is a lot more indicative of 1950s Bugs, just sort of wandering in a situation rather than him being foisted upon a situation. And as he's climbing up out of his hole and into the rocket ship, he says,
"Wow. The hole seems long this morning."
Write in your own joke here.
And then the literal next line is when he's in space.
I forget what it was because I didn't write that one down. I think
it's,
you
had
that one, I
imagine.
Hey, who plugged up the hole?
Well, going by last week's episode, Sam and Ralph, maybe? I don't know.
How many fucking innuendos are we going to have to dodge? First the butts, now this?
I know, right? We can't...
Jesus Christ. Also, before we get too long in the hole, I want to point out that the rocket launch is even more beautiful than the last one because this one uses a lot of pinks and yellows and oranges and different colors. It uses a sunset launch or a sunrise launch, honestly. And it's even more creative and even more cool looking. There's really good timing when we're in space, Bugs unscrewing the top of the rocket, and seeing Earth passing in a matter of seconds, and saying, and the realization dawning on
him. No wonder I'm so sleepy.
It's great. Very quickly, we're whisked into our main hook of the cartoon, where Bugs is whisked onto a main Martian base by a probe, which, no. And the sort of space landscape that Marvin operates under is very stylized, using a lot of reds and blacks. Looks insanely cool. and is very much, you know, a statement on the very cool sci-fi stylization of the time. This is what sci-fi movies in the 50s were leading us towards.
Ooh, look who decided to have creative and wacky backgrounds in space!
Yeah! How about that?
It's almost like in between Hand Over Hair and this one, Chuck made a background artist who can draw very interesting backgrounds for space. Maurice.
Yeah! Maurice Noble showed up. So, of course, you know, Bugs is trying to figure out the deal, and as Marvin approaches, he says, maybe that character wearing a spittoon can help me. Which is great. By the way, yes, Mel's Marvin voice is perfect now. Enough time has passed. He's done two other cartoons. He knows how to get the full squeak in that voice, and it's probably the best it's going to be in this one.
At last, after 2,000 years of work, the Illudium Pew-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
This has a similar show of plot to Harry Doubler Hare, because Bugs is hearing that Marvin's going to blow up the Earth, and it doesn't register for a couple seconds, although I love how he literally goes when he finds out. He just says the sound effect.
Yeah.
Also, I like this one because it gives Marvin a rationale for blowing up the Earth. He says, it obstructs my view of Venus.
Also,
which is very silly.
Just the common cool nature what he says. He just says, well, very matter of factly, look, I'm going to blow it up. It's my view of Venus.
I mean, I'll get into this right here. The reason why so many people enjoy Marvin, especially in this cartoon, is that he's very... a meek and simple character without any huge wants and desires, without a lot of huge energy. And the fact that he's never mad, he's never, like, over the top, he's just confused and taking it all in. Like, the very next line is almost iconic when Bugs steals away the peanut, the
aluminum 30... I didn't have it.
Uranium 35... No.
The uranium PU-36 explosive space modulator.
Space modulator. Okay. When Bugs steals that, there's, of course, the very famous line that would be copied multiple times of Marvin going, Where's the kaboom?
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
And, again, he's not mad. He's just confused. He's taking everything in a very calm, very educated standpoint. And it's just very... A lot of Marvin's best stuff is subtle, calm confusion. And that's why he's such a great character. He's not, like, yelling and screaming. He's just like, oh, drat, this is happening. He doesn't curse. He says darn or drat or oh, dear. I also really like, and obviously this has been seen in various other things, the shot of Bugs doing sort of, like, hopping in a circle trying to turn a corner as Marvin figured out what he's doing. Also saying the line, delays, which was also used in Water, Water, Every Hair, which we're going to cover in 2052. So, what makes this one different from Hair Devil Hair is that this time, Marvin actually employs the help of some little Martian creatures, which are, you know, just add water. I love that concept. And he literally just uses a little spray gun to just hydrate them in the full size. I love the very bewildered look on the faces of all of the instant Martians as Marvin hydrates them. Like, what? What are we doing? Okay. It's great.
They need to be controlled.
Yeah. They need something to do. Like, uh-huh. Sure. There is also something very cool about the shot of the Martians running one after the other. It almost feels like a very slowed down animation sprite of one. It just works. Of just like, it's almost jerky. Almost like frames have been removed. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's honestly kind of cool. So we have this gag where Bugs is being pursued by some Martians, and there's a gag here with zip scooters as they're sort of zipping past each other on this little platform. It feels like a throwback to an early Wile E. Coyote gag. And sort of they just zoom back and, you know, all the other ways and trying to evade each other. And then when they actually get them, like, face-to-face with each other, we have this sort of copying and staring gag with Bugs and the Martian, which seems like a throwback to the Heckling Air, honestly.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, which is, again, these are good cartoons to throw back to, you know, Fast and Furious and Heckling Hair.
Yeah, and this one, you know, they do this, and then eventually, they do, like, kind of like a Russian roulette of of driving off, to which Bugs just sets the flying saucer off as the Martian actually does drive off, and then just plummets to his death.
I love that Bugs waves. He just waves to him. It's great.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah. Yeah, also because gravity works in space, apparently. I'll allow it because this is a fun zany Chuck Jones cartoon. Yeah. There is also a fun gag here with Bugs being chased by three more Martians, and it's just Bugs and the Martians opening doors for each other. Just politeness. And until Bugs opens one on the floor and they all fall without thinking. And then a lot of this ending, it was sort of cut around for the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie. Bugs hitches an escape pod and leaves Marvin with the about to explode dynamite.
To which the timing.
Oh goody. Goody. My Illudium Q36 explosive space modulator.
I love that. I do adore this ending, actually, because Bugs arrives back on Earth, accidentally chucking the Martians into an open manhole, which, why do I keep doing this? Oh, God. I don't mean to. I don't mean to, but it's a great ending line.
Stop
of just you realize what's about to happen.
Stop pulling these out of your ass. Wait a minute.
No.
Sorry. End. Sorry.
It's a great ending. That line where Bugs realizes what's about to happen and goes, run for the hills, folks, or you'll be up to your armpits in Martians as the little Martian heads begin to sprout from the ground. It's a very fun ending. I enjoy it. So this is also a really good Marvin and space cartoon. A lot of great gags. The Martians are fun little additions to the fold. Marvin is much more himself. There's great space logic. Just a lot of it evolved with Bugs' evolution in this era. Excellent designs and animation. Maurice Noble helped a lot. Maybe one or two classic gags short of being an all-timer, but still very, very good.
Yeah, I really like the speed of this one. And there's always something going on, but not enough to where it feels excessive. It's the best Bugs Marvin short of the bunch, simply due to how quotable it is. Yeah. As well as having a kind of dark ending. the short literally ends with, and then Bugs causes an alien invasion. Good night!
Yeah. Crazy. I am giving this one a 4.5 as well.
I'm also giving this a 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, you see, there you go. I shouldn't have been worried.
All right.
The next one I should be worried, though.
Yes. So, this thing we should bring up. The amount of years between each Bomb the Martian cartoon.
Yeah.
Is kind of weird, right? Because it jumps from,
Because the last one was 1958, and I don't think there are any more in between 1958 and 1963.
No, this sexual recovering happens 5 years later. To which I ask, what did Bomb the Martian do to warrant a 5-year hiatus? All he wanted to do was blow up the Earth. That's all.
Maybe they just couldn't think of any other ideas with him.
I think so. And they waited until new people came into the frame. One of them, we'll get into it. So this is Man of Mars here. Came out on October 19th, 1963. Tries what happened on that day. This is an NFL-oriented thing. Jim Dombrowski, NFL guard of the New Orleans Saints, was born on this day.
Very cool. He's one of those. I'm not as well versed in football as I am in baseball, but I imagine, great player. Played in those probably, 80s and early 90s Saints teams. Not much else to say there, but that's pretty cool. I have it on this day for this one, but I don't want to be stepping on your toes if you have it as well.
I don't know. I only have the NFL one. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Because I got a cool one for that.
All right. Share then.
Because on October 19, 1963, four lads from Liverpool recorded a song called I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Which is pretty fucking cool.
I'm going to send a letter to the site that I use. How is that out of there?
No, because it's funny because She Loves You was out at the time by the Beatles. And so She Loves You is out. It's on the charts. And the Beatles are already recording I Want to Hold Your Hand. And it will be out very, very shortly after this. So that's pretty cool. With all the Beatles renaissance we've had since Get Back sessions came out. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes. All right. So this was directed by Chuck Jones and Maurice Noble because it's 63 and Chuck is like looking at the door. It's like, you got me.
Maurice, you come and help. Okay.
And the short was written by
John Dunn. Fucking John Dunn. Fressa. We went through the map today, and we've only liked one John Dunn cartoon, and that's Beep Prepared. Everything else, we've had lots of things to argue about.
Like, Frizz Freeling dedicated an entire movie to the guy, and it's the worst one.
Well, the thing is that Frizz Freeling also worked with John Dunn on some of his extracurriculars, like the Pink Panther cartoons. And John Dunn also went on to do the Beatles cartoons and was a whirlwind mind in animation in the 1960s. It's just everything he produced with Warner Brothers sucked ass. So, I mean, yes, they see him as a good collaborator and friend. They don't see him like we see him because they're friends with him. You know, I have no vested interest in the world of John Dunn, and I think that he's a horrible writer for cartoons. I think he's done a lot of ones that haven't worked at all. And maybe it's because I'm not biased that I wouldn't think this, but if my colleague was making shitty cartoons, I'd tell him.
Yeah.
I would.
Or at the very least, like, try to help. I mean, it's not like these cartoons, like when it says, like, story by whatever, it's not entirely by the person. There's the director usually, like, works with the writer on these shorts. And by this point, Chuck's not coming in every other day because he's doing other shit. And Maurice is working on being more of a director than a co-writer. So, I don't know. Just, yeah. Didn't John Dunn do Transylvania 65,000 though?
Maybe. I think he might have actually.
Yes. Okay. He did. Okay. Two. He's got two.
Two. And also, he did The Last Hungry Cat, which I also kind of like.
All right. Three.
So. What?
So yeah, but this is the only Marvin the Martian cartoon that he wrote, and it's the last one.
God. Also, Bill Lava does the music.
Boy, howdy, do I know that. Boy, howdy, can you tell? All right. So our short begins not with Bugs Bunny.
No.
But with Marvin.
Talking to us.
He's looking down at the earth, and he's talking about it. He's like, man, I'm so fascinated by the Earth. It's my special interest. And
wooden shock.
And, you know, like, but the idea that they're so sophisticated is ridiculous. They're the most fascinating insect on Earth. As he looks over to the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And he sees that a rocket ship is heading directly out into space. And he's so happy. Yeah.
I hate to cut you off. Yeah. But you missed the most. There's a very telling line that Marvin has here, because you said he's hovering over Florida, and he says the line that there is no sign of intelligence on Earth. And he's looking at Florida while he's saying this.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. If God were going to give the world an enema, he'd start in Florida.
Yeah, so the rocket ship launches off into space, and he's complimenting it. Also, he's reporting this from Mars? Like, is that still where he is? Just like his house. Is that his house? I don't know. So anyway, so he's looking at the rocket ship towards the telescope as it comes closer and closer to the screen as it just destroys the telescope. He goes right into it.
I liked the timing of this. Him just talking like, oh good, this is the next thing, and it just runs right into him.
And
just
the line of, I'm not bad, just incredibly, incredibly confused or something. Something like that. Okay, so the rocket lands on Mars. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It is Mars.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A reluctant Bugs Bunny exits it. He's wearing a space thing. And,
Space thing!
Woody coming in 2025.
So, thank you for that man with me. Ain't no doubt about it.
All right, so. Once a bug.
But seriously, folks.
Randy Newman. All right, so. Let's do the first issue I have with this thing. There's no bad guy in this. Right? There's no, like... The closest we get to a bad guy is Mel Blanc through a megaphone yelling at Bugs to get off the rocket. Mm. Yeah. And the reason that Bugs is there is because rabbits are expendable. So you can just send rabbits up there. And which, you know, Bugs is like, oh,
too real.
Yeah. And Bugs is saying, like, listen, you can't let me get off this ship. I won't listen to you. You can't do that. And da, 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 da. And while all this is going on, you know, Duck Dodgers was able to establish that Daffy has to take Planet X in the name of the Earth much more creatively and less... And in less time than this one. Because they're just in this ship throwing out this exposition about how, you know, Bugs has to go out there and claim the Mars for the name of the Earth. And it goes on and on and on. And which, in order to get... Okay, this takes me off. In order to get Bugs off the ship, the arm, the ship itself, I guess... has a carrot, goes, here boy, throws the carrot out, and that leads Bugs to run out of the ship. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, that doesn't usually work. Who do you think you're writing for?
Yeah.
Now, throwing them into the ship is funny. That is just patronizing.
Yeah. And, like, so Bugs gets the carrot, and he's like, oh. And, like, he goes on, like, a bit here about, like, why does he like carrots?
Darn it. Betrayed by my baser reflexes again. When will I ever learn? It was a carrot that lured me into Cape Canaveral in the first place. Why do I love carrots anyway? There isn't much meat on them. They're kind of dry, too.
And it feels like padding, and it's just...
This cartoon is very talky.
Very talky. And he just... Like, yeah. So Bugs just goes...
Lunchtime!
And he just chops on the carrot. Turns out it's aluminum in them.
And with pretty much the only funny joke of the entire thing, the carrot ends up being... it opens up and there's a big bunch of brass instruments playing Yankee Doodle Dandy as the sign Earth comes up. I liked that.
Okay. I do too. Silly because, okay, Yankee Doodle Dandy, predominantly American song. I just love that it's Earth, but it's really America. Like, America got Mars. Yeah. It's not really there.
America speaks for Earth.
Yeah. That pretty still holds much up incredibly well.
Yep.
I will say, one of the things I did like about the short, the backgrounds are nice.
Yeah,
the background's really nice, you know? Yeah, I wonder who was responsible for that, co-director Maurice Noble.
Oh, yeah, probably Maurice Noble. Yeah. It's not a very good sign that Marvin only comes into contact with Bugs with about 2 minutes left to go on the whole fucking thing.
Right?
This is so badly paced, this cartoon. And then the second that Marvin shows up, Bugs immediately disintegrates him with his own gun. And
yeah.
I did like the muffled Marvin voice from the helmet and the feet running away. Just ranting to himself, doing some racka fracka.
Yes. Yeah, and no, yeah, it's very nicely done. It's a nice shade of space. And So Bug's like, oh, well, you know, gotta get going. Like, how do I get back to Earth? I'm stuck here. And, okay, when Marvin has the time-space gun out and Bugs runs into it, were you thrown off by the sound effect they used?
You have sealed your fate.
No, I wasn't.
I was. The sound effect they used of Bugs go. I guess Bugs' reaction to running into the time-space gun. It's something like, again, no, Bill Lava, so you're going to get some fucking...
Yeah.
Cheap store music cues.
Maybe it did throw me off. I just don't remember it enough to... I don't know.
Oh, you mean it's hard to remember this cartoon?
Yeah, because it's not very good.
So Marvin has this gun. He says, listen, I'm going to send you... Oh, this is so fun contrived. I'm going to send you into the future... to a time where I become ruler. Cause sure.
Sure. Great writing, John. Is this also the point where he brings up slavery?
Yeah. I forgot to write that down, but yes.
Well, he does. How does one even address that? Bugs going, I hadn't even any practice being a slave. Like no.
Bugs.
Let's not bring that up.
One, let's not bring it up. Two, we have some footage that very much is of the contrary. I don't even know what slavery is. Cut to like Mississippi Bugs and like
a bunch
of other ones. It's like oh.
The one with Yosemite Sam where it's the Civil War, yeah.
Yeah. So Marvin thinks. He sends Bugs to the future, but instead, he sends him to the past as a like Neanderthal version of Bugs. Okay, can we please fucking stop with the Bugs being like from way in the past as you're like in the prehistoric era and shit? It doesn't work. Jesus. It doesn't fucking work. And
Jesus Christ.
And then Marvin has my least favorite line in the entire thing, to which he says,
oh dear, I got the silly thing in reverse.
No. Boo. No. No, sir.
This is just not very well written at all.
Oh my God, the last minute becomes so cringy and, like, self-referential that, like, I hate it.
It's trying to remember better shorts. Because even on John Donne's Wikipedia, it says, John Donne had a tendency to, reference other previous Looney Tunes shorts in his writing. Or to just, you know, copy bits of them. Oh, my God. Jesus. And the ending is just him, you know, Marvin running off saying, you know, back to the old drawing board or whatever. And Bugs, as a Neanderthal rabbit, sort of chomping on the aluminum carrot saying, wait until Elmer Fudd and all the other hunters down on Earth here, let's see this.
Oh. Okay, I don't know why. But something about a character saying the name of another character who isn't in the short, who... especially by 1963, is certainly not as available as he used to be. Rubs me the wrong way, you know?
Yeah, it's not great.
Because people at the end of this cartoon may be going, fucking wish I was watching an Elmer Fudd cartoon right now. Jesus.
Hey.
We just end there. Just like.
We go out. Yeah. Oi. Not good.
That was a disappointment.
Yes.
Also, Mars the Martian had barely anything to do in this short. The barely rocket anything. Ship is more of a presence than Marvin the Martian in this.
Yeah.
Bugs was acting like an idiot. And nothing was really gained here. I mean...
No.
Like the point where Mars gets taken over by Earth happens, but it doesn't feel like a big thing. It's just... Well, it's like literally with 2 minutes left to spare, we came here to do what we need to do, and then the car just meanders for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's just fucking. I mean, there's barely anything here at all. Barely any gag work. Barely any good Bugs and Marvin stuff. I mean, they're only in the cartoon together like for a minute of it, less than that. Too much talking, too much explaining, badly paced, badly structured. A few things that work, but, you know, it's just not good at all.
Yeah, I'm giving this a 1.5 out of 5 animals.
Yeah, that sounds about right, 1.5. Yeah, not good at all.
Nope.
Jesus.
But we're not done yet.
No, we're not done. There's still one more very important thing to talk about.
Yes. So.
Folks. Did you know there was going to be a Marvin the Martian movie, folks?
with Mike Myers as Marvin?
Yeah. Like, this was a thing that was genuinely greenlit in, like, around... the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this was around the time that Warner Brothers was trying to do a few more projects based on their own existing IPs. They greenlit at the same time, basically, a Marvin the Martian film starring Mike Myers as Marvin the Martian. At the same time, they greenlit a Hong Kong Phooey film with Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
So they were just trying whatever worked. And you can tell that this is 2008 because both of those names were still sure bets. Although 2008 was a very bad year for both of them because Mike Myers would have the Love Guru that would tank his career. Eddie Murphy would have, take your pick, Meet Dave. Yeah. But... And then, of course, you know, it's something that, like, okay, you know, an idea for a movie goes glistening by in the night and we never hear about it. And okay, we can move on with our life. But on the internet a couple of years ago came some test footage from it.
Yeah.
And it's...
A pitch. Like a pitch. Like, here's an idea we have for a Marvin the Martian movie. It's live action animated. It's live action CG because it's 08. We can't have a 2D animated being live action anymore. And, also, could just point out how, like, what WB tried to do. Like, I know people bitch about Space Jam New Legacy, and it has its flaws, clearly. But be thankful that the next Looney Tunes movie we got was a Looney Tunes movie where all the Looney Tunes were in it at the same time. Because I swear to God, WB was... I mean, it was 08, so there's no way they were trying to do this. But it felt like from like 08 to 010 or 11, they were thinking, okay, new idea. We do separate Looney Tune movies.
Yeah.
So instead of an ensemble film, it's just the Marvin the Martian movie or the Speedy Gonzales. That was the last one. Yeah, the Speedy Gonzales one with George Lopez.
Right. And there was an idea around this time for a movie involving the Acme Corporation starring Steve Carell, which also never got anywhere. Although there is going to be Acme versus Coyote sometime eventually.
2023?
Yeah,
2023.
You know, it'll happen eventually. But, yeah, no, you could see that it was definitely an idea period of just, okay, let's get as many separate Looney Tunes characters in their own movies as humanly possible, and maybe combine them eventually and try and do a cinematic universe kind of thing like Marvel was beginning to do. So, it's...
Oh, my God.
You can see some of the ideas behind it. But the clip itself. Do we want to talk about like the actual? Unless you have something else to do.
So I think the biggest thing, the big thing that come out of this pitch was who they got from Marvin the Martian. Because in the movie, it was going to be Mike Myers. But for this pitch, they got a young up-and-comer named Eric Bauza.
Yeah.
And this was his first thing ever doing Marvin the Martian.
Yes.
This is a role that he would later get to do officially starting in the Looney Tunes show, which gets him to the fold, which in turn leads him taking over as kind of their main guy for these characters.
And this was essentially his first step into it.
Exactly.
I mean, going into the actual clip, his Marvin voice is excellent in this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the idea was for executives to also kind of hear Mike Myers in this sort of voice, which is a voice he could have actually done, honestly. But Eric himself actually comes off really well as Marvin, as honestly more true to the character than even Eric Goldberg or Mel Blanc could be at times.
I am a superior Martian being who has come to your pathetic planet to destroy Christmas.
The pitch itself, we should talk about, like, the whole point of the film is it was supposed to be a Christmas film of some sort. A kid receiving a Marvin the Martian, what he thinks is a Marvin the Martian doll at Christmas. It ends up being the real thing, and shenanigans ensue. People who pitched it talked about movies like Racing Stripes and My Dog Skip as a sort of, you know, okay, having fun with a pet or an animal that ends up being a bit more volatile. And there would obviously be the loony edge to this, but they wanted to keep it very low scale and focus on, you know, this is a kid. This is what this can do for a kid or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, and the kid, I know him from somewhere. I've seen him before. He was on...
Let me look him up.
I'm guessing Ant Farm. I think he was on Ant Farm, which was a Disney Channel.
Yeah, that was him. He was on Ant Farm.
First guess. Awesome. Yeah.
Exactly. He's also been in... Mighty Med.
Mighty Med. Yeah, with the...
He was in... an episode of Dexter. He was in the movie Shorts, which anyway. They wanted this to make this just to be a very hands-on live-action animation kids movie. But the footage that we got was very true to, you know, Marvin himself. Marvin is definitely himself in this, shooting his laser with sort of, you know, comedy shenanigans happening.
That's great. Like, Marvin is 100% himself in this, and he's the best part of this.
Yeah, some of the humor is a little less.
Yeah, so because this was made around 08, 09.
Yeah, 2008.
There are very late 2000 kids film tropes. Like, the line, like, as soon as the boy finds that Marvin the Martian is real... He finds a toy. He says, "You're going right to eBay," as he opens his laptop and goes to eBay. That's a very, wow, the internet kind of reference that we were getting at that time.
And also, he hopes, it's the present that he hopes is an Xbox. Yeah. And, you know, it's very much, you know, digging the buzzwords that kids might think are cool. And there's an Apple computer in this as well. So. Yeah. And also, there's a lot of juvenile jokes, like a nutshot joke.
Oh, yeah. And a young boy yanks on Marvin the Martian's testicles.
And, of course, there's destruction and things going boom. And then the kid realizing the super cool implications of it. And you can see where there could be a relatively all right kids movie made out of it. But I don't know if it would be completely true to the humor of the original. It would be very It would be very like late era John Hughes-y, which is funny considering that the trailer / pitch uses the Home Alone music.
This was a co-production with Alcon Productions? Well, it was like a WB. Is that studio still around anymore?
I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't seen that logo in like 10 years at least. Though I will say, the part where there's a scene where Marvin is going to fire the gun at the kid and then the gun just breaks And he's just murmuring to himself. He throws in some racket-fracking. Like,
yeah, he does some rassifrasses, which are great.
Darn it. Rassifracking. What if I flick? No. What's wrong with this thing?
That's really good acting from Eric. Yeah. And I'm guessing since it's just Marvin dealing with the thing, I'm hoping like maybe that's just Eric being a Looney Tunes fan going, okay, explosive spots modulate, kind of throwing in a bunch of like good Marvinisms.
Yeah, you can tell he's a fan.
Yeah, yeah. That's frankly the best part of the whole thing for me. I also find it funny that the moment where the Christmas tree gets destroyed, because a Christmas tree gets destroyed, and the a gingerbread man like flies towards the camera.
Yeah.
My guess, like, was that like a if we want to make it into a 3D movie, we can.
I think so.
Yeah, like if we wanted to like Marvin the Martian in 3D, which
around that time it would have worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, literally the reel says coming this Christmas, which would never happen.
And the year 3000 and never.
Yeah, you know. And it would just be another speck of something that could have been cool. Although, you know, Eric did get his ramp up to, you know, Looney Tunes stuff from this. And, you know, there'd be things that come out of it. But, like, this would never happen. And it just exists this sort of oddity for Looney Tunes fans right now.
Yeah. Also, the Marvin design, it's pretty much there. The eyes are small, though. The eyes are weird.
Yeah.
The eyes are weird. But that's like the one thing about the design.
Design-wise. And obviously it's CG. So, yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, that's something that could have been. This is the only thing of a canceled Looney Tunes product we've seen that's ever been released.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen script pages from the Pepe Le Pew movie, but, like, nothing actually concrete.
As you say that, I believe this week someone released, like, a storyboard from the Pepe Le Pew movie, which, It got that far?
Apparently.
I didn't know it got that far. I just thought, like...
Hey, Max Landis enjoys forcing people to do things they don't want to do. In the meantime, unless there are other Marvin-related orders of business to do, maybe we should ask the audience if they have anything to say about these.
All right, so our first comment comes from Spiderus at Spiderus Prime 2. They said that Daredevil Hare is the very first short that our beloved Martian, who isn't named John Jones. Ah, nice.
DC reference, yeah.
Nice, lovely. So Chuck Jones shows how Bugs going to the moon against his will while also not wearing a spacesuit. Maybe Chuck read that Chinese myth about rabbits and the moon. Overall, the short is great and also gives us Marvin's truthful dog, Canine.
Yeah. No, it's a classic, I think. It's still some early installment things that we were talking about, but, like, you know, it works. You know, it really has fun with some space stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It is entirely possible that Chuck Jones read Chinese myth. He's very... A very, like... literary guy.
Maybe he did.
He loved referencing like readings and stuff, so possibly.
We also have a comment from James Irish at JIrish780. He says, an interesting point here. He says, these cartoons and the Duck Dodgers ones are perfect illustrations that these were not meant to be seen back to back to back. The theme of blowing up the Earth to view Venus and the gag of Marvin and whoever else hanging on for dear life represent some of the few times that Chuck Jones repeat himself, which is a good point. I mean, some of these we kind of need to do them like in succession because we're doing our character pieces. And so we understand that we're not viewing these cartoons in the way that they were meant to be seen, like in theaters or like a couple years later. But like we do this to compare and contrast how it changes after a couple years of time. And so we understand we're doing it a sort of different way than maybe what Chuck would have wanted. But it's still like... Us saying he repeated a joke isn't like us damning the cartoon. Like, yes, okay, fine. He uses with better animation. But, like, I mean, it's still valid.
Yeah, I mean, both the end joke at the end of Hair Over Hair and the one in Duck Dodgers, They're both still good jokes.
They're honestly a little different, too, because there's still the Porky angle, and there's, like, the... It's who they're talking to as well. In Duck Dodgers, he's talking to us. He's telling us that it's an adventure from Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half centuries. And then Hair Devil Harry's telling Houston or wherever.
Yeah. All right, so our last comment here is from Ika at ITI_official. They said that mostly every classic Looney Tunes episode that has Marvin in it, isn't he like the cutest thing ever? Which, you know, it's a nice design. Mother Martian has a very nice...
Like, that was the point of the character, I think. Like, you needed to be this cute, sort of adorable little Martian thing so that you wouldn't think that he'd be this oppressive, explodey little, force of wrath. Like that's the thing. That's why he's as meek as he is, because he is this very much belligerent, sort of, you know, destructive force. And that's what Chuck Jones is trying to say, that people coming from other planets, we can't be fooled by them looking cute and looking like, you know, E.T. or whatever, because they may want more than just, you know, what they bargained for.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for your comments this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so for next week's show, we're going to try something a little different.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to tell you what our show's going to be in about 2 weeks from now. Please don't freak out. The episode's coming. Don't freak out.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it. It's all good.
I'm not leaving. I want to.
No.
I'm not.
Plenty of opportunities. All right, so in about 2 weeks, we're going to be covering an episode. Oh, you got to love this theme. It's so out there. It's about the desert.
Just how you said that was great. It's about the desert.
Shorts of a place in a desert setting, or Saudi Arabia, or what have you.
Tunisia, we don't care.
Look, once you see what the shorts are, you'll love it.
Maybe it's set in Qatar. I mean, they bought the Olympics. They can buy these as well.
Yeah. All right. So the episodes we're covering in 2 weeks are Sahara Hair.
Yes.
Alibaba Bound.
Oh, it's going to be one of those two we know about and one we haven't heard about, and it's probably bad. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And considering it's about, like, the desert and the Middle East, I'm not expecting it to be particularly PC. So we'll see how that goes.
All right.
And Alibaba Bugs.
Okay, so we've got some good ones. And
yes.
Hopefully they're all going to age well, I hope. They won't. I know they won't. But
No.
At least the gags will be okay.
Yeah, the gags will be fun.
Okay.
All right, so that's coming in about 2 weeks. Next week, however, we're trying something new.
Yeah.
But not, like, so new to the point where it's like, I don't get it.
So, I accidentally backed myself ass first into a new series of commentaries because I wanted to make Mark watch a certain movie. And it turned into, why don't we do all the other movies that are adaptations of this guy's cartoon work? And so we're going to do all of them, all like six or seven of them. And that is going to be an ongoing series that I have chosen to tentatively call Sun Tzu's The Art of Ward, which is the Jay Ward movies.
Yes. So we've recorded two. We've done the one that's coming in next week and one that's coming a little bit later. So how we're doing this, how we're releasing it. Is they're going to be bi-monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So the one coming next week, that's in January. We'll get the next one until March, which, God damn it. Like, that second one is so good, though. But,
oh my God.
No. But, yeah, so.
We just did that one yesterday, and that one.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. But the first one we did, the first one we did, was. The one you wanted to join, it's the one you brought up to me. You're like, hey, there's this movie. Yeah, so explain yourself.
Because this was one that I watched on cable a lot as a kid, despite the fact that I knew it was kind of bad. And I just have this weird nostalgia for it. So we're going to do the 1992 Showtime exclusive Boris and Natasha movie, starring Sally Kellerman and Dave Thomas. It's weird. It's very weird. But yeah. I think that we're going to get something out of it. We have.
Yes. So, it's on Tubi at the moment. So, you know, so for next week's show, if you want to follow along, you just go on Tubi, Time Force Natasha, yeah. And run it when we say go next week's show. And this isn't like, because listen, as fellow podcast listeners, we get so fucking scared when a podcast goes, we're doing something new. This is literally something coming out bi-monthly. We're still doing the show. It's still coming out on Mondays.
Yeah, we just want to do some different things as well. We're doing movie content as well as short content.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in about 2 weeks, we'll look at some desert shorts.
Yes, deserts.
Deserts. All right, that's the end of this week's show. If you'd like to keep up with us on Twitter, you can follow me at MarkHallam1995.
And you can follow me at TallGuySchmidt.
If you'd like to keep up with the podcast or give your thoughts for next week's episode, you can follow at that_Looney or type in the podcast title. We are the first result.
And you can also find our podcasts wherever podcasts are readily available. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Player FM, Anchor, Stitcher, Amazon Music. Marvin the Martian has its own podcast service called a Plutonium PU-39 Explosive Space Module Podcast Tour.
All right. So until next time, I'm Mark.
And I'm Jordan. And Mark, this week, you have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.